Welcome to a very special Planet IRL podcast, as we're joined this week by James from 16th and Georgetown. This is Paul Dalby, Planet IRL IndyCar editor, also joined by site editor-in-chief Cole Kirkland. This week, we start our countdown of the 10 best drivers from the previous decade in American open-wheel racing. We'll start this week with positions 6 through 10. We're also going to have honorable mentions from each of us that we feel got left out unfairly from the top 10. Planet IRL executive editor Cole is going to tell us a little bit about how we came up with the 10 drivers that we did and how we got to this point. Cole?
Thanks, Paul. So to compile this list, many different websites and organizations have been putting lists similar to this together. But the thing we did that's special is James and I got together and we said, hey, why don't we let the readers and the listeners vote for who they think is the best driver and the other top 10 drivers from the last decade? So we got together several members of the IndyCar media, and they each submitted a list of drivers that they thought were their favorites, and we compiled those into a list of 20, which we let you vote for. And I'm happy to say that after over 2,000 votes were cast, we've narrowed the list down to 10, and the race, especially in the top 4 or 5, was really, really close. So I'm really anxious to get through the countdown, and I think we'll start with honorable mentions, right, guys?
Absolutely.
All right. Paul, you want to start with your honorable mention?
Sure. My honorable mention that did not make the top 10, I'm going to go with Bruno Junqueira. I strongly feel that Bruno probably should have been in the top 10, starting with Chip Ganassi back in 2001. During the decade, he had 121 starts between Chip Ganassi Racing and Newman Haas and a handful of other teams in the later years. In those 121 starts, he had 8 wins, 10 poles, and 34 podiums. Beyond that, he had an incredible stretch in the years 2003, 2004, with a couple of runner-up seasons in the Champ Car Series. He won the pole as a rookie at Indianapolis in 2002, was running very well in 2005 when he was involved in a very serious accident with A.J. Foyt IV. Ended up fracturing his back and taking him out of the Champ Car Championship that year, which he was leading going into Indianapolis. I think he had the type of year going that year where he could have given Sebastian Bourdais a very strong run for the championship that Bourdais eventually won. Excuse me. So from that standpoint of where he performed those first 4, 5, 6 years, I think he was certainly worthy of inclusion in our top 10. And unfortunately, the fans did not vote him in.
And James, who was your honorable mention?
Well, I think I'm going to go with Justin Wilson. He actually wasn't even in the top 20. He was, however, submitted by Tommaso over at nofinders.net. Unfortunately, it was a little bit of an error on my part. I cut him out of the top 20. So that's why I'm giving him honorable mention right now. He very well could have made top 10. Obviously he's been solid ever since, he came to the States, with at least one win, every year since 2005, 6 wins total, 7 poles, 2 runner up, champ car championship finishes, and then another 3rd place. And he's really been a solid driver, one of only 2 drivers in 2008, along with Graham Rahal, to get a win in IndyCar as a transition team. He's just a real solid driver and definitely should have been in the top 20 for sure, and possibly even top 10.
Mm. I agree. Those are both 2 picks, but the pick I'm going to go with for my honorable mention is going to be Cristiano D'Amata for his runs in Champ Car and other series afterwards when he came back from his accident. Before his 2006 accident at Road America, he was really coming up really good. He had 80-something starts, 12 wins, and he had taken a championship also. So I think if the accident that he had would not have taken him out. I think he would have been one of the leading contenders by now, and probably still racing in the IndyCar series after the merge. Starting at number 10 on the Planet IRL / 16th in Georgetown.com countdown of the top 10 drivers of the decade is Dan Weldon. He secured 5% of the votes from the viewers and listeners out there. And in his career since, what, 01, I think? He has 114 starts, 15 wins, 5 poles, 39 podiums, an Indy 500 win in 05, and the championship in IndyCar. And now we're going to throw it around to each of the three of us, and we're just going to debate Weldon and what we think of him. We'll start out with James.
Yeah, Dan Weldon, he definitely deserves top 10. As you said, the championship, the Indy 500 win, probably top 10 alone. He's had two second-place finishes in the championship, a couple fourth-place finishes. The one thing about him is he's moved teams quite a bit. Was with Panther and then Andretti and then Ganassi, now back to Panther again. But yeah, he definitely deserves top 10, a solid driver over the past decade.
Paul, what are your thoughts on Dan?
I agree Dan should be in this. I thought he would be a little bit higher. When Dan really came up, he had the couple starts with Panther in 2003. Before moving to Andretti Green. And when he moved to Andretti Green in full-time in 2004, between late 2004 into 2005 and 2006, when he moved to Ganassi, Weldon really seemed like he was going to be the next superstar in IndyCar racing. His final 2 years at Ganassi, unfortunately, he didn't follow up that championship year of 2005 and the success he had in 2006 when he tied Hornish for the championship that year. He wasn't able to carry that momentum into 2007 and 2008, though he did still have some very good races there. And then the whole drama that went on at Ganassi with Tony Kanaan, unfortunately, left Weldon the odd man out there, and he ended up back at Panther and had a very disappointing year last year. So if you look at the Dan Weldon of 04 to 06, he was one of the most dominant drivers, certainly on the ovals that we've seen in the IndyCar series, but the last couple of years have been tough on him, and from an overall body of work, I think this is probably about where Dan should fit in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Dan, he won in 2005 the championship, and he tied for the championship in 06 but lost on the tiebreaker. I think he's definitely one of the most talented drivers we've seen in IndyCar for several years, along with the drivers that we'll talk about a little bit later in the countdown. But the thing that sets him apart is he's one of the last, after Sam Hornish left, he's one of the last few oval guys. He grew up on road courses, but he's really transitioned into being the IndyCar oval guy. And his finishes at Indy show that too, because he's had the first, a third, a fourth, and a second this year. So those finishes make him deserve definitely at least 10th in the countdown. Slotting in at number 9 on the Planet IRL countdown is Gilles DeFerrin. He secured 7% of the vote from the public voters. In his career over the last 10 years, he started in 71 races. He had 9 wins, 15 poles, 31 podiums, 1 Indy 500, and 2 championships. I'd also record at at California Speedway back in the early 2000s also. So that's another accomplishment we can add to his CV. I think Paul has the most interesting perspective on this, so I'll throw it to him first to discuss Gilles DeFerrin's record in open wheel racing.
This is one I emphatically disagree with. I think DeFerrin should have been much higher than ninth. You look at his back-to-back kart championships in 2000 and 2001 against great competition there. He had the 2003 Indianapolis victory, or as Elio likes to say, he wears Elio's third ring. He nearly won the championship in 2003, It came down to the final race at Texas that was unfortunately postponed or shortened due to the Kenny Brack accident. But he went into that along with four others with a very real chance of walking away with that championship. DeFerrin, for those first 4 years, was on top of his game and was one to beat every single week. Maybe just the fact that it's now been 6 years since he's been in the car full-time in the IndyCar series, and the fans have maybe a jaded or a biased view toward the later part of the decade. But for DeFerrin to be as low as 9 with two very strong championships and an Indy 500 win, to me, I think he deserves to be higher than 9th.
Yeah, I really think that's the key, Paul, is that it was so long ago, 2003. He's really been off the map ever since then, obviously going over to F1 for a while and coming back to run sports cars a little bit. But that's the problem I think it is with Jill, is he's been off the map for so long. Obviously, if you look back at the stats, like you said, 2000 and 2001, two great solid championships running against some very competitive cars. And then the Indy 500, like you said, I personally think 9 is about right for Jill. Maybe moved up a little bit, but I think 9th place is just about right.
And I kind of have a split view between the two of you. I think Jill should be higher on the countdown in the open wheel drivers category, but if you rate the top 10 drivers or motorsports people of the last 10 years, I think Jill would definitely be in the top 5 for all that he's done in, you know, kart and in IndyCar and in the AMS and in F1. He's really, as a whole, contributed a lot. Maybe not his accomplishments in the IndyCar series and kart, but as a whole, he's definitely a top 5 person of the last 10 years.
Moving on to number 8 in our countdown, we come up to Paul Tracy. Paul Tracy comes in at number 8. Looking back at his decade, Paul started 139 starts between kart, champ car, and IndyCar, coming away with 16 wins, 13 poles, 39 podiums, and a 2003 Champ Car World Series championship. Cole, we'll start with you and get your opinion on Paul Tracy's decade.
Okay, well, I know you all think of me as the anti-Paul Tracy, but on this issue, I really think Paul is, and take note of me saying this, Paul is underrated in this countdown. Did I really just say that? Yes, I did. Paul, even though he's had his Paul moments, I think he should be rated higher than 8th, just for the wins he's had. There are a few people higher than him in the countdown that have less wins and don't have championships, yet Paul is still down there. And even though, as I said, he's had his problems in the past, I think he should definitely be higher than 8th in this countdown. And I really don't see how he only got 8% of the vote, knowing of all the Tracy fans out there. So, James, what do you think of Paul?
Well, again, I think that the fans got it right again. He had, as you said, 2003, his championship year was a great season, 7 wins, and then another couple wins after that, and a couple wins next year, and he's really been solid the last couple years. He's been downhill a little bit, moving over to IndyCar. He hadn't had that many starts in IndyCar. He had a great run at Edmonton in 2008. And like I said, I really do. I think the fans got it right again.
I hate to be the one that isolates Planet IRL from all of Canada,
it's been done before, Paul. Trust me.
I have to say, I think that Paul Tracy coming in at position 8 overrates Paul's decade. Paul won the championship, I admit, in 2003, but it was against a lower quality field there than what he raced against in the mid and late 90s. I think Paul was at the peak of his game when he raced from Penske from 96 to 97 in those first couple of years with Team Cool Green there. I think he had came off his peak, and he was, I don't think he was quite as good during this past decade. Paul Tracy's a very good driver. Don't get me wrong. He's very good. He's good for fans. He's good for the media. But to say he's one of the 10 best in this decade, I have a hard time buying that. The competition he raced against in Champ Car wasn't as good as the competition he raced at against Kart in the 1990s, and it wasn't as good as the competition he could have raced in against in the mid to late 2000s in IndyCar. It is a shame that he wasn't able to secure a ride in the Unified IndyCar Series, because as James said, when he had that opportunity to race at Edmonton, he showed very well. And I have no doubts that he probably would have shown well in a Unified Series. But without seeing that competition, I have a hard time putting him in the eighth spot or higher based on what I have seen from those that did run those series. Just my opinion there.
So before we move on to number seven, I just want to make a point. Sorry, James. Before I get one more piece of hate mail from any angry Canadians or anywhere else, take note that I am the only person here that just supported Paul Tracy and think that he should be higher on the countdown because he's not the eighth best driver in the last 10 years in open wheel racing. Note ended. Go on, James.
Well, back to Paul, who thinks he should maybe be a little lower. I think one thing that really supports his claim of at least eight or higher is that he's one of, I think, only two drivers on this countdown who have raced in American open wheel racing the entire decade. He didn't quit midseason and go to NASCAR. He didn't quit and go to F1. He's been in American open wheel racing this entire decade. He's been fairly consistent. The last couple of years have been down a little bit, but he's been in American open wheel this entire decade with 16 wins, 13 poles, 39 podiums, championship. Those are pretty good numbers.
I'm not disagreeing that he hasn't had good numbers and his loyalty. Trust me, I want to reward that. Though he did, there were a couple of years in there where he did keep threatening, hey, I'm going to go to NASCAR, I'm going to go run the trucks, I'm going to go run the Busch Series. I think he actually did run one of those at some point.
Yeah, he ran in the Busch Series for a while.
Yeah, no, I know it didn't pan out, and he ended up making that really, really, really bad deal with Jerry Forsythe as his way of coming back to Champ Car. But the sentimental warm feelings that I have for him for his loyalty, in my opinion, doesn't merit his spot this high in the countdown for his work that he did in the series.
Coming in at number seven on the countdown of the top 10 drivers of the decade is Tony Kanaan with 8% of the vote also. Since he started, Kanaan has had 169 starts, 13 wins, 13 poles, 49 podiums, and a championship in American open wheel racing. And to get his thoughts on that, we'll throw it over to Paul.
Having Tony Kanaan come in at seven, I feel is a little bit low. But when I think about the folks that are the gentlemen that are going to occupy the top six, with one glaring exception, it really speaks to how competitive some of the drivers were in these series and how much talent there was in American open wheel racing in the past decade. Kanaan in 2004 had a season that nobody's had before or since. When you complete every single lap of a 16 or a 17 race season, you're doing an incredible job. And that was when the IndyCar was still running all ovals. There was a chance for, just even get stuck out on a pit stop and you end up a lap down. There are so many things beyond just your control that can go wrong. And for Kanaan to finish that year finishing every single lap, I don't think we'll see that feat again. We've seen drivers come close since then, but I don't think we'll ever see anyone have a season like Tony Kanaan did that year. Since 2004, Tony you know, up until the struggles that Andretti Green had this past year, was really a threat to win every race. And he really showed well on all different types of tracks. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I can almost guarantee he is one of those drivers that has won on all four different types of tracks. The short ovals, the super speedways, the permanent road course, and the street course. So a completeness like that against the competition that he's gone against, both in the Champ Car in the early part of the decade and IndyCar through the middle and the latter part of the decade. I think Tony Kanaan, certainly a solid driver, had a great decade. But I think Tony would probably agree that his one championship, his lack of an Indy 500 victory, probably does set him a little bit below the top five, and probably right about where he came in at number seven.
Now, you mentioned the Indy 500, and I do want to make one point with a stat here, and that is, since he started in 2002 in the Indy 500, up until 2000, this was his first year that he didn't do this, he has led a lap in every Indy 500 he has made a start in, except for this year when he had his early crash. That alone, even if it's just from pit strategy, if you've led, what is that, one, two, three, what, seven Indy 500s in a row, that takes something special. Besides, of course, what you said with completing all the laps in a season. That's doing something. Even if you haven't won it, leading seven times consecutively in the Indy 500, that takes some skills. And that alone is enough, between the stats that we mentioned, is enough to get him in the top 10. And I think he should be about ninth behind Tracy and DeFerrin, but he's not far off from what the votes counted.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys really hit the nail on the head. Give him two Indy 500 wins and see where he would be. I think he would easily be top five and probably a run at number one or two. He's been unbelievably consistent, especially the last couple years. He's been in top six in championship points every year since 2003. He's been really the leader of AGR, Andretti Autosport, whatever you want to call it. He's got a ton of talent and is definitely in the top 10. I think that once again, the fans got it right again, putting him about seven. Like Paul said, when you first think about off the top of your head, you're like, well, you know, maybe Kanaan should be higher. But then if you look at the drivers ahead of him, I'm not sure who you can really put him ahead of. But yeah, like I said, I think the fans got it right again. Seven is right about perfect. And coming in number six on the countdown, with 116 starts, 19 wins, 12 poles, 47 podiums, an Indianapolis 500 win, and three IRL championships, Sam Hornus Jr. And we can pass it on over to Paul for his thoughts.
Sam Hornus, to me, is kind of in that same boat with Tony Kanaan, where on the surface you would expect him to be higher. But again, I think the fans probably have Hornus right in about the sixth spot. When you look from a pure oval standpoint, Hornus is far and away number one, I think. There was nobody who drove ovals better between 2001 and 2007 than Sam Hornus did. He was the oval master. He ran lines that we haven't seen anybody else run until Ryan Briscoe ran at Homestead this year. Hornish was never afraid to make a pass no matter where it was. If he had to scrape the wall or he had to mow the grass, Hornish was going to make the pass. And like Marco said, at about the end of the 500 and 90 of 2006, whether Hornish went inside, outside, or over the top, Hornish was going to get the job done. And from an oval standpoint, there's not been anyone better. The problem when you look at Sam Hornish is going to be his legacy on the road and street courses. He just didn't have the experience that the other guys that came from kart and champ car, he didn't have the experience on those courses and in those formats that they had. To his credit, he made great leaps and strides through 2006, 2007, but he never quite got to that level. So when you look at his entire body of work through the decade, I think, you know, the exceptional oval talent with the average road course skills and talents, I think six is probably right about there. And some people may want to credit those three IndyCar championships a little bit more than maybe they should be weighted. But from his overall decade, I think six is really right about where Sam should be.
And I'm going to agree with you on that. I think Sam is right in six, but there are a couple points different from what you said that I want to cover here. First off, Sam, I think if he hadn't switched to NASCAR, Sam would have been higher on the countdown, but I think he kind of stained his reputation among open-wheel fans by doing that, and that hurt him. And I don't think the road courses near the end of his career in IndyCar were as bad as what a lot of people think they were. If you look at it in retrospect, he got a second at Watkins Glen in the final year. And now in NASCAR, he's the road course specialist. So that shows you he worked hard to be average on road courses. He put in a lot of effort just to try and improve it. And I think another thing about Sam Hornish that really defines him is the fact that he didn't just win in the early thousands in IndyCar back when it was more homegrown oval racing. He won from 2001 all the way through 2007 when he stopped, and he had wins every year. He could transcend all the changes that happened in IndyCar each year that, because IndyCar has changed so many years, he could change with it every year and continue to win and be in the top five each year.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam was really cut from the same cloth as someone like a Tomas Schechter. As Paul said, he was not afraid to on the ovals to go high and make the pass. Three championships, as you guys said. His one problem was Indianapolis. He finally got the monkey off his back in 2006, but he really struggled at Indianapolis the first couple of years. But like I said, he got the monkey off his back in 2006. The three championships, 19 wins. There really wasn't a whole lot for him to do other than really compete on the road and street courses. And I kind of got to disagree with Cole a little bit, saying that kind of going to NASCAR may have hurt him in this poll. I think it may have actually helped him, because if he would have been in an IndyCar the last couple seasons with the transition drivers, I hate calling them that, but the transition drivers on the road and street courses, I think they really, really, really would have made him look terrible on the twisties, and I think that would have hurt him a lot. Obviously, he would have still done well on the ovals, but all in all, I think he's about right. Maybe up a little bit. I could see him fourth or fifth, but sixth place, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm still going to stand by my statement that NASCAR hurt him, because being open wheel fans, we're naturally very, very loyal to open wheel racing. But I understand where you're coming from with your point about the fact that he would have struggled a little bit with all the transitioning teams. And I also hate to use that term.
You know, Cole, you brought up a really good point about how he was able to transcend all the changes in IndyCar. If you look at his 2005 season, when they had the dog of a Toyota engine, he was still able to finish third that year, in a year where AGR just had a terribly unfair advantage. And really, Ray Hall Letterman that year as well. Buddy Rice had a great year that year as well with the G-Force that was going out of favor then. But Sam was still able to finish third in the championship that year with a win at Phoenix, with a win at Milwaukee, which are both what? They're both the short oval road course, the short oval courses, where it really takes driver skill, and the driver really has to drive that car around those tracks. And those finishes really showed what Sam was made of that year. He also had a second at Nashville that year, which was another oval that required a lot of driving. And he had runner-up finishes at Texas that year, a runner-up position at Homestead. So all of these great podium finishes in 2005 were with a huge disadvantage to to the AGR and the Honda teams that year, and that just goes to show his talent on those road and street, or I'm sorry, his talent on those ovals and justify his, really, the Rick Mears of this decade from an oval standpoint.
When I think about Sam, I'm sorry, James, when I think about Sam, the one thing that sticks out, as we've said here, is that if you look at his 2000 season, when he started out, in his third race in an IndyCar, he finished third at Las Vegas. And that was the only year in IndyCar, and that was only a partial season, that he did not limited budgets and everything. And he won in 2007, when it was really starting to grow into what it is now with all the diversification. So the thing that I always think about Sam is that he could always change with the series.
Yeah, and one other thing I was going to add is his two championships in 2001 and 2002. After he left Panther Racing, they really, you know, they it's like they fell off a cliff. They've really, really struggled ever since 2003. And I think that's another thing that just goes to show how talented he was whenever, like an MVP type thing, take him away from the team and see what they do, and take him away from Panther Racing and look what they've done since 2003.
Absolutely.
Sam is the kind of guy you would build a team around, and I think that's something that really helped Panther out.
So we'll call it quits there for this week and our review of positions 6 through 10 on the Planet IRL and the 16th and Georgetown.com. Driver of the Decade poll. Be sure to join us next week when we not only do we discuss positions 1 through 5, but we'll also have an exclusive interview, hopefully, with the driver that the fans voted as the greatest IndyCar American Open Wheel driver of the decade. So once again, for Cole Kirkland and James from 16th and Georgetown.com, I'm Paul Dalby, Planet IRL IndyCar editor. We look forward to having you guys join us next week. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.